When the hell's the Jamel Dean domino gonna fall? Come on, now. No, I'm looking for a ribeye that might be on sale. A little ice cream. Nice little Merlot for the missus. Cream cheese. That's $7.50 for a little tub of cream cheese. And she comes home, and I open the bag. It's got whipped cream cheese. I said, you got the wrong cream cheese. In the words of Jason Light, we're ascending.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. As this one email sent me earlier this week, Ira, the guy said, how's old man Ira? I guess he didn't realize you were back. He hadn't listened for
a while. My God. You got to stay up to date over there, Steve.
We won't call you old man Ira. You are the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And we got more free agency news to talk about, Ira. Day one was a rollicking free agency podcast. Anybody can catch up on that from earlier this week at Apple Podcasts, JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean like Jelly Bean, and various other platforms.
I'm pumped up, Steve, because a coconut donut is almost within my grasp. It's almost there. You found the place.
We got it, and we'll make a big deal of it as well when we get it for you. So I will have fun with that.
And Lee will take a photo, right? There's no question. Me chomping into a coconut donut.
Now, I do have official word from Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. Anyone who purchases a vehicle this week and reaches out to Sean and lets him know for sure, hopefully talks to him at the dealership, he will buy them a dozen coconut donuts.
Unbelievable.
How about
that? The initiative. Where's he getting it from? Another place?
Don't worry. Drive Curry. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. They want your car, Ira. They're paying 120% of Kelley Blue Book value. No purchase necessary. You can get your check today. And, of course, they've got great new car offers. They've got their huge March Madness promotion that's coming up. We can't announce it yet. But, wow, is it mind-blowing, truly.
And high-quality 2024 vehicles that they'll give you a good deal on.
Yeah, not many left. So get to BillCurryFord.com and see those discounts. And everybody can listen to the new Best in Class podcast from Sean Sullivan as well. Best in Class, you can find that. It's all about linebackers this week in the draft. You can find that at JoeBucksFan.com.
Next month we're going to have his mock draft, right, Steve? That first round.
Well, of course, and at Apple Podcasts. But we're a long ways away from that. He's got plenty of position breakdowns coming. And I'm seeing it right now at BillCurryFord.com, 482 vehicles in inventory, a big $500 off coupon just popped on the website, and this Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect, BillCurryFord.com, third-generation family dealership since 1960, and we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember that name, Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk about them more later, but get up to speed at Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Ira, Lee, we have got action. We could start with the signings, Ira, but you know, we'll get to those, and we'll go to first your impressions of Chris Godwin and his chit-chat with Jason Light yesterday and what he had to tell fans, the messages he was putting out there, what Light had to say, what wasn't said, which is your specialty.
Well, I loved Godwin's emphasis on winning another championship. Lee, for someone who has done so much already on the field for the Buccaneers, somebody who already has a Lombardi trophy to hoist, somebody who's already made a lot of money, what's left for Chris Godwin? To win it again. To win it again. He's very comfortable with this organization. He loves the front office. He loves his teammates. He loves Mayfield. He loves playing with Evans. And I said last week I thought he was going to hit free agency. I'm so glad I was wrong, Lee. I'm so glad I was wrong. But one thing he did say was that it was a very tough decision, so maybe he came close to hitting the free agent market. Maybe a little closer than Buck fans thought he would, but I'm glad he's back. And, Lee, I'll say it again. For the Bucs to make this kind of financial commitment to Godwin, it's not a one-year deal. They have to be convinced that he can overcome this injury in due time. We don't know if it's going to be August, September, October. I don't think it's December, but I welcome back number 14. And Lee, as a final thing before I throw this to you, for whatever reason, and I had been bitching for 2 years on this podcast, Lee, bitching. You got to get Godwin more touchdowns. You got to get him more touchdowns. He only had 5 in the 2 years previous combined. Mm-hmm. 5. That's a good couple of weeks for Mike Evans. 5. Yeah. You know.
How many did he have last year? I don't even know.
I think he had 5.
So in 6 games, that's not bad.
Yeah, six games plus. He looked like the best receiver in football.
He did.
His yards after catch, which is very unusual for a veteran, to pump that up in a significant manner. And I don't think he's ever been great yards after catch, and Evans isn't great yards after catch. But last year, Lee, before he went down with the ankle, he was really good in yards after catch. Mm-hmm. He's going to make an already outstanding offense even better. I'm very glad he's back.
It should be a fun offense. It's a big question mark with Grizzard.
Don't screw this up, Grizzard.
I hate to put pressure on the guy, but I don't know how much better you can get than, what, third in the league, fourth in the league?
Fourth in scoring, I think.
But you can make that argument that they could be better because they had three rookies starting. So you can make that argument. And, of course, Godwin, you know, being out two-thirds of the year. A couple things. You always want to know what's going on at the press conference. I generally don't give a damn.
I do.
I just go in there, get my job done, get the hell out. Someone went up to me yesterday, and I was told, you know, Godwin, his wife and their infant son were there. And this person told me, oh, he's got a glow to him, doesn't he, Godwin? Looks the glow of a new father. And I immediately said, I thought it was the glow of being $40 million richer.
That's right. That's right, Lee.
Shows you where my mind is.
Steve, you aren't completely satisfied with all of Godwin's answers, Steve, but the fact is he's in the fold and he's ready to go. So you can't argue with that.
No, absolutely not. There's nothing to argue about, and he's here, but he's obviously not running. Otherwise, I think he would have said he's running. He doesn't want to talk about his rehab, and I get it, but there's really no reason not to talk about it.
Yeah, why hide?
You already have $44 million guaranteed. You got an extra year on top of that. Just tell everybody where you are. As a fan, I find it a little disrespectful, right? Don't say the fans are part of the picture and we're all together. We're the crew and all that stuff, and you can't say when you think you'll be back. You know, just say I'm hoping for opening day. Just at least put something out
and
there.
And you didn't get any suggestion from Light either.
No, but no, to be fair, nobody asked Light. Nobody said, well, Chris doesn't want to talk about it. Jason, well, when do you expect him on the field? So, okay, but I don't like it. I don't like it. And there are other teams that are much more candid with injuries, and I don't know what Godwin's hiding, but he wants to work day by day and doesn't want to change his focus, so I respect it.
You think it's true that he had a lot of potential suitors that he knew about if he hit the market?
Well, the word on the street is New England was going to throw him $30 million a year. Guaranteed, who knows what that would have been. But Jason Light himself mentioned that it was generational money, and the presumption was that it was the difference between what the Bucks guaranteed and what this other team guaranteed. But he didn't dispute, nobody disputed that there was another bigger contract on the table. That goes for Godwin on WDAE radio as well. So he left money on the table. He said it was a very, very tough decision. I don't know. But it just goes to speak to how, like, Light and most GMs and most big-name players, they're out of touch with the regular fan. Right, because they've already have all that generational money.
Thank you.
I mean, generational money for a lot of people is $500,000, not
exactly
$30 million. So, but he's here, and he was obviously tempted by the money. I reckon.
Steve, I got I was chomping at the bit to say that after taxes, he's going to get roughly $20 million. That's not generational money. Give me a break. I mean, $5 million is four generations. If that's not generational money. I got a very, very small, simple advice for Chris Godwin, who shouldn't need my advice. He's a smart guy. Find another financial advisor.
Lee, do you think one of the reasons that it went down to the wire in terms of the start of free agency and him hitting the open marketplace was that he might have been enticed a little bit, him and his agent, about some of these suitors where he could have potentially been the number one guy, where coming back to Tampa, he's not the number one guy? You think that was a factor in keeping the Bucks strung along a little bit till the start of free agency?
They all have egos, so I would say yes, but I'd like to find out who these quote-unquote suitors were. You know, everybody and their brothers talk about the Patriots, and maybe they're the only one, maybe they were one of a dozen, I don't know. But if it came down between the Patriots and the Bucks, that's a slam dunk. I mean, why the hell would you go up to New England? You know, Godwin talked about, you know, I don't know why you would do this if you're not trying for a championship. They sure as hell aren't winning the championship in 3 years. That's lousy weather, lousy team, defensive meathead coach. I don't know why the hell you would even think of going there.
You think Cohn was thinking about Godwin in Jacksonville?
Yes.
Steve, could that be a factor?
I think Cohn was all focused on Hainsey. You know, that's where you make your that's where you get your big. No, I don't know. But you know what, Ira, when you, the sage, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, are patrolling the NFL owners' meetings in Palm Beach with your fancy cigars and your hats.
So when I'm talking to Jerry Jones and Arthur Blank,
you'll get some
Goodell
answers. Yeah,
yes,
you'll get some answers, exactly. So we'll find out who more of these suitors were for Godwin. But I'm going to say Ira. I don't think he wanted to be the number one guy at all. And I'll tell you why.
That's interesting, Steve.
A number one guy plays outside receiver. He had that opportunity in Tampa, and he moaned, and he didn't like it, and his wife had a freak out, and then he got to play slot again. And he told everybody last year, I want to play slot. I'm a slot guy. There's no number one slot receiver, number one receiver in the league that plays slot. You had your chance to get single coverage with Mike Evans getting the double teams on the Buccaneers with a good quarterback throwing you the ball, and you said, I don't like it. I want to be inside. So number one receiver, I don't know why he would have that on his mind, and he had to have realized that if I go to New England and I'm getting $30 million a year, the fans are going to expect a 10-touchdown, 1,400-yard season,
yep.
And they're going to carve me alive, unlike in Tampa.
And I've got a young quarterback that's still learning the ropes. Although he's pretty damn good. I like the fact that Godwin knows what he is, Lee, in terms of being a slot receiver. And a lot of guys feel that that's cumbersome and it's a hindrance to be locked into a slot receiver. That's what Chris Godwin is, Lee, and he's a damn good one.
What do you make of this? Is this being coached up by Bucs Media Relations, or is this sincere? You hear this from Evans. You hear it from Baker Mayfield. You heard it from Godwin yesterday. You heard it from Bredesen this morning. They love everything about this, the team, the area, et cetera, et cetera. Is that just BS, or is that sincere?
I'm going to vote on the sincerity side.
You're Mr. Tampa Bay, so.
They're locking up these guys, Lee, from a light perspective, from a Glazer perspective. They like the fact that they can keep known quantities, that they know about their production. They know about their work habits. They know about how they are in the locker room. And why go out and go get another free agent when you think the guy that you have can get the job done if you get him at a reasonable contract, and Light's very good at that. This is an all-in-the-family situation here with the Bucs.
Who's Edith?
It's Lee, that's outstanding. Oh, maybe Jackie Davidson. You love throwing her name into every podcast over
there. That's what he's saying.
Oh, my
God.
And who's the meathead? Oh, there's plenty. But they like, so to speak, the devil you know. They're big on that. They think they got a good thing going, and they think this is the year they could really do a lot of damage, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of fun there. But kudos to Jason Light for getting these guys on the cheap, right? Your three biggest offensive names on the skill positions. You got Godwin, Evans, and Mayfield. They're all playing for way under market value, significantly. So that's paying for Hassan Reddick and a lot more. So you cannot underestimate that. Now, Tristan Wirfs, he's the guy who said, screw this, I'm not going to practice. I want to be the highest paid lineman in history, and they gave him the money.
But you hit on Mayfield. He's the key one.
He's making so, and they have to keep this going, because Mayfield, after this year, if he has a good year this year, he's got 1 year left, he could just walk into the Glazers and say, look, I'm not playing unless I get $60 million extension right now. If not, get rid of me.
And he's got all the leverage.
And he'd have three Pro Bowl years in a row at 31 years old. He'd have five teams lining up.
And they got nobody behind them.
Right.
I have a perfect example to reinforce what Steve's saying. Yesterday, I read a story about the main reason the 49ers are paring salaries. They're dumping players right and left. They want to make sure they can afford Brock Purdy. And I'm like, you're getting rid of all these players. What the hell? Brock Purdy doesn't mean anything. Who's he going to throw to?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So what Steve said is absolutely correct. Thanks to Mayfield playing on the cheap, they're able to afford Hassan Reddick. They're able to afford to bring Chris Godwin back and Evans back and lock up Tristan Wirfs.
And in my eyes, I don't think Purdy reaches the levels of Baker Mayfield.
No.
Certainly not off last year.
Not yet.
Well, Purdy's actually been in the Super Bowl in a couple of NFC title games. So,
surrounded by a lot of talent, Lee, those years.
He guided them there, you know. So I'm not knocking Mayfield. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not knocking Purdy either.
Right. Here's one thing with Godwin. I did a little research, so I got to bring it up so I get more value for my time of research. But, you know, he had a dislocated ankle. And a lot of guys break their leg with that as well, or they break the ankle too. The Bucs haven't given a ton of details, but that's typically what happens with that injury. Okay, so, you know, it's the same injury Dak Prescott had, and he came back, but he's not a receiver. Now, I was looking for receivers with this injury, and I find Allen Hurns, who did this in a playoff game for the Cowboys, and I think it was 4 or 5 years ago.
So it was at the very end of the season.
2019, correct. Very end. So after the 2018 season, January 2019, he does this same Godwin injury. He was playing in a veteran minicamp in June.
Wow.
Five months later.
Wow.
So now we're 5 months away. At the time he did interviews, he said, I'm 90%. That's what he was telling reporters. And he played that next season, no problem. Now, he's not a superstar. He never was. But he was a good player, solid player. He had a solid season. Dallas wanted to cut his pay right before the final 53 came out, and he wouldn't take a pay cut. They cut him, and he jumped teams, had a solid season, and then he was one of the few guys who said, oh, COVID, I'm not playing all year. Remember, they had that option?
Yeah.
And so he quit for COVID and didn't come back. So we don't have a gauge as to how much better he might have gotten, but he was at least healthy right now. Godwin doesn't sound like he could play in veteran minicamp next week or two weeks.
Lee, my aim's very simple from a Buck perspective. Get him ready for training camp. I don't care about OTAs with Chris Godwin, and I don't even care about the June mandatory minicamp. Try to get him ready for training camp. That would be about 10 months, which seems reasonable for an injury of that magnitude.
Yeah, sure.
Although, like Steve says, we don't know all the details about that injury. Lee, I don't think it's unreasonable to have him ready for August. I know.
I would hope not.
All right.
Ben Bredesen's in the fold, Stevie. Well, Ben Bredesen.
We already talked about Ben Bredesen. He was a day one signing guy. But, Sage, you mentioned they love what they got and they want these guys back. Now,
The Nelsons. The Gaineses.
I'll say it right now. I don't like the re-signing of Nelson and Gaines. I want some new blood in there. I think you can gain an edge by having some new blood in there. If I had to pick, I would have taken Nelson because he's been very reliable.
I agree.
But, man, I don't know. They couldn't do any better than Greg Gaines. I don't know. I don't know if I like it.
I do, and this is why. If the Bucs are going to make the Super Bowl, they're probably going to go through Philly. Guess who stopped the Philly tush-push? The Bucs, and that's because Greg Gaines was in there. A year ago, when they pounded the Eagles, the Eagles came out with a tush-push on goal line, and Gaines was on the field. They stomped him. Two plays in a row, if I remember right.
Lee, they could go out and get another wide body.
I'm not saying they shouldn't. Yeah, I'm just saying I value Greg Gaines because the way I look at it, and it's the first thing I thought of, this is to stop the tush-push because they're probably going to go through Philly to get to the Super Bowl.
So, Sage, let's go to Nelson because there's a unique situation there.
You like Nelson. You've talked him up a lot.
I've always liked Nelson. He's for a fourth-round pick, he's done a great job.
Yeah, so
simple as that.
Gets you his five sacks, right? He does.
He saved the season last year.
He's a good player for his role. So here's the thing, right? So Joe Tryon-Trajinka goes to the Browns for $4.5 million.
Did somebody call that a great signing? Who the hell said that, Lee?
I won't say his name. I don't want to embarrass him. Right.
$4.5 million. He goes to the Browns for 1 year. The Bucs re-sign Nelson for $5 million for over 2 years. So $10 million deal. He has some incentives. So essentially, these two guys are making the same money in free agency. So the Bucs played Tryon-Trajinka a higher percentage of snaps in games than Nelson, but yet they chose to bring Nelson back, same position. So why didn't Nelson play 70% of the snaps last year and Tryon-Trajinka play 30? If you watch these guys for years, did they misevaluate these guys?
I think a simple word comes to the forefront.
I know what word I'd use.
Investiture.
Bingo.
I think people in the organization were still trying to justify picking Tryon-Trajinka, and he wasn't a fourth-round pick. Look, I know he was the last pick of the round. I understand that.
First-round pick's a first-round pick.
But it's still a premium pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have went in another direction, got somebody else. I'm sure there were a lot of guys in the second round that turned out to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to miss on a late first-round pick, Lee. I'm not trying to kill anybody. But directly to Steve's question, Lee, and you were thinking the same way I was. They were giving Trajinka every chance to prove that he was worth that pick. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't, Lee. He wasn't.
What's going to be interesting is he's not only playing on the opposite side of the field from Myles Garrett, which should help, but he's also playing for Jim Schwartz. Schwartz is a damn good defensive coordinator. He's going to be in a 4-3, so the only thing he's got to worry about, he being Joe Tryon.
They got a good defense over there, Lee. That's a good defense.
They got a solid defense, and the only thing he has to worry about, he doesn't have to worry about covering DK Metcalf. He doesn't have to worry about covering Jamar Chase. He just needs to get the immortal words of Bill Cowher. get to the quarterback. That's all he's got to worry about. And so I'm interested to see with that coach, with that team, with that responsibility, how he pans out. I'm going to be very interested in that.
He just wasn't wrapping up that guy and putting him on his ass.
We're at risk of getting you fired up, Ira. I just think that Bowles, I know he doesn't do it all the time, but his insistence you got to do so many other things, including cover guys, I think it screws with these guys' heads. They come out of college. They've never done that before. All of a sudden, you're trying to turn them into a cornerback. I think that screws these guys up.
We'll see if he does it with Reddick. We'll see.
Well, you know what? I think Bowles is going to go away from – didn't he say at the Combine one reason he did that so much is because the secondary stunk so bad?
Yeah, I'm still trying to recover from Ira telling me the Browns have a good defense. You didn't watch much Browns football last year, Ira. Horrible. Horrible.
Their defense is better than their offense. I think.
Barely. Barely.
Well, a couple of years ago, they had a damn good defense.
They did. They had a good offense a couple years ago, too. Better with the running game, but bad team.
Bad.
So I think Bowles, from what it sounds like, he's going to pare that down a little bit. Not as much as he used to, but still, of course, Reddick's a veteran, but I just think it messes with these rookies' heads. We're right in the middle of it, and I try to ignore it because after about 3 weeks, I just want to slit my throat. But all these draft evals and all these damn dumb mock drafts, I've yet to see any draft eval or any dumb mock draft talk about an edge rusher's ability to cover receivers. I've never seen that. They're not built for that. They're not trained for that.
Stevie, it's a new podcast, so I might as well say it again. I got to mark every podcast with this question. When the hell's the Jamel Dean domino going to fall, Steve? Come on now.
Well, it could be any moment.
Let's move on.
I didn't bring it up earlier because
let's move on, Lee.
But here's the thing. Jamel Dean has no more guaranteed money. So he is ripe to become a salary cap casualty all the way up until the 53-man roster in September. Remember Michael Clayton? He was due $10 million. He was Mark Dominic's guy.
The one that Dominic re-signed and gave him a lot of money?
He re-signed Michael Clayton before the 2009 season. He was a wide receiver, a guy who was a rookie of the year, I believe.
I've never seen a guy fall off the cliff more off a rookie season than Michael Clayton.
No.
I've never seen it.
So anyway, Clayton re-signs $10 million a year before 2009. They pay him for 2009. He's due $10 million in 2010. He got cut right before 53-man roster came out. And
that was Dominic's first year as a GM.
In 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So that was his big re-signing. Ridiculous. But anyway, Dean could, if they draft a big-time corner, a first-round pick, Dean could be out of here.
Steve, I can't believe you didn't mention the main reason, allegedly, that Michael Clayton was re-signed. I couldn't believe it.
People, because he's a hell of a blocker,
yeah,
Lee.
He's a
hell of a blocker. I remember that.
So, not that he can catch, not that he can get open, because he can block.
Ira, I got two important questions for you, but I want to give you an important answer. First, the important answer is to the question, where do I turn when I have water damage or disasters at my property?
Publix later today. I might run into Josh Martin over there, Steve.
What do you need at Publix, Ira?
That London broil sandwich they have?
No, I'm looking for a ribeye that might be on sale, a little ice cream. You know, all the dietetic
ribeyes
stuff.
Ribeyes and ice cream. You remind me of my old
A bottle of wine. You know, nice little Merlot for the missus. Cream cheese. That's $7.50 for a little tub of cream cheese. It's unbelievable what goes on in Publix.
A whipped cream cheese?
No, absolutely not the whipped cream cheese.
Oh.
She went shopping a couple of weeks ago, which she never does because I'm the Publix man. And she comes home and I open the bag. It's got whipped cream cheese. I said, you got the wrong cream cheese. She said, should I give it back? Well, I ain't going back there. If you want to give it back, go ahead. But I'm not doing it.
What you said about steak and ice cream, my old football coach, he said to us one time, you white guys, all you care about is steak and ice cream.
Steak and ice cream. Oh, my God. And by the way, can I get a ribeye that's not $18 a pound, Steve? This is outrageous. I'm not going to do it. I got to get something that's like $9.99. Forget the $18.
So when you call Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, you get a free evaluation at your property of your disaster, and they'll come out 24/7. It's not a joke. They're ready for your call for a prompt response. And mention Ira or JoeBucksFan.com, and they'll give you $500 back if you have to sign on to let them restore your property, if you really even need them.
When do you call them? Before your insurance or after your insurance?
You call right away, because your insurance company is going to start asking you a million questions, and you might say the wrong thing,
And they want to cut corners.
Exactly. So you got to call them first. You know, of course, if your house is on fire, call the fire department. You know, that's logical. But Josh Martin and his team, they're fantastic. And check out their 5-star Google reviews. They service all across the Tampa Bay area and beyond, east across the state, Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Mold's a terrible problem. If you let it go, terrible.
Mold is horrific, especially if it's on your ribeye.
Ooh,
that's terrible.
Well, maybe then I could get it for $9.99. Yeah,
I got a question about Josh and Florida's Elite Restoration. So, you know, when you call the doctor and you get the voicemail, the first thing you hear is, in case of an emergency, call 911. Is that what you call when you call Josh?
Well, they pick it up.
Okay.
They're not going to. There's no voicemail at Florida's Elite Restoration. Okay. Chaos in Atlanta, Ira. Absolute chaos. So there's no big signing in Atlanta on day one. Yet we find out right before day one, they lose Grady Jarrett because he didn't want to take a pay cut. Mr. Jamel Dean, hello.
One of their few decent defensive players.
Yeah, and he's scooped up immediately for big money by the Bears. And they lost their center, Drew Dalman, who is a fierce run blocker. They can run the ball in Atlanta. And Bears sign him, too.
That's the strength of their team, Lee, the offensive line.
So
and the running
Matthews,
back.
They did sign.
The trenches. So, and then they, what do? They go out and they sign a Raiders inside linebacker who's not good in pass coverage. I mean, the fans are going bananas out there. and Kirk Cousins is still around. And he's due another $10 million soon just because he's got another bonus.
Buck fans love it, right, Lee? They absolutely love it when the Dirty Birds are in chaos. Raheem could be in trouble next year. After next year.
Absolutely.
Could be in trouble,
absolutely.
Well, it's not like they could have had the best coach that ever lived.
You know, Lee, let's not forget, Lee, they were 6-3. They ended up 8-9.
8-9, two games behind the Bucks.
All right, so from 6-3 to 8-9, from three games ahead of the Bucks to finishing two games behind them. That's called a collapse, Lee.
That's the perfect word.
They collapsed.
You know, so at the Combine, D'Orlando Ledbetter, our good friend of the podcast, good friend of the Sage, a man who's actually in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
I think you're the Levante David of these Hall of Fame writers.
Where's the respect?
Where's the respect? Anyway, D'Orlando, we love him. And he tweeted at the Combine, it really struck me when I was there, that so far the Falcons have had 45 pre-draft interviews all on defense.
Wow.
And expect a very defensive-heavy draft. Because, you know, they're trying to fix that. And what happens? Their first big move, they lose Grady Jarrett. Fantastic. But they signed Leonard Floyd. Now,
he's okay.
He's okay if they have help, meaning if there's someone on the other side. If they just bank on him as being the guy, he's not.
I take Reddick over Floyd any day of the week. Any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously had great success or solid success with the Rams.
Yeah, when Aaron Donald.
And Aaron Donald was inside and they're wreaking havoc. So I'm not sure, but he was older than Reddick, and he wasn't a guy that I was really interested in.
He looks like a 7-sack guy, Lee. You know, Floyd.
Yeah.
Well, he's had 8, I think, in each of the past 5 seasons. So he's an 8-sack guy. He's legit, but is that going to fix their pass rush?
Is his ceiling Adrian Claiborne?
No, he's better.
No,
he's
no,
better.
Yeah. Better even. Okay.
Better. Steve, you just mentioned it, and it's worth more than a throwaway line. But you think the Bucs pass rush was erratic last year? Atlanta's wasn't even erratic. It was nowhere. It was absolutely nowhere.
I'm not losing sleep over it.
And I don't see where they've really addressed it. You know, Floyd, to me, is not going to be the answer.
You know, I'll say this again. I'm still stunned. Stunned, I tell you, that the Bucs got Reddick. I mean, I was telling someone the other day when I was at One Buck, when Adam Schefter's – it wasn't a Twitter because Twitter was down. Thanks to Ukrainians, allegedly. ESPN had a running, I don't know what you would call it, a running
Talk
alert. Court. And I saw Adam Schefter, Bucks signed Reddick. And I'm like, no. I just stared at it. Like, no.
Yeah.
This is one of those fake Adam Schefter accounts.
So, true story. ESPN, when free agency kicked off, noon, they started a live show, live free agency show, with Schefter and Lewis Riddick and Orlovsky and a host. And Jeremy Fowler. They're all sitting there, and they're just going to do free agency live with Schefter on the air. So, of course, he's on his phone and all kinds of stuff. So they're in this show, and what happens? Schefter's talking, and he looks at his phone, and he says, Jeremy, take over. And the camera stays on
Schefter
for a bit, and he's texting, keyboarding on his phone, and Fowler's talking. They pan away from Schefter, and then they go back to Schefter, and he's like, okay, It's now up on the ESPN app. The Buccaneers have signed Hassan Reddick. So he had just gotten, obviously, the tip-off. And actually, your favorite, Ira, here comes your favorite. Whatever was on the app, they put on the screen, the ESPN app. They put a real big graphic.
Okay.
And it said, deal negotiated by Drew Rosenhaus.
I don't like that.
That drove you nuts, Ira.
Yeah. It just, I guess it confirms everything we've always said, Lee, because that's the way to get
it. Interesting that they have no problem stealing other scoops, but, oh boy, we don't want to disparage an agent.
Yeah, it's right. The agent saying, I'll give you the scoop if you put my name on TV. It's really
oily Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah. So anyway, the bigger, more important point is they go around the round table to talk about Reddick, and Jeremy Fowler comes on and he says, hey, you know, I talked a lot to Jets coaches about Hassan Reddick, and the Jets coaches believe he's still got it, just that he didn't show up till October, and he missed the whole offseason, and it was a waste of a season. So that was encouraging.
So, in other words, positive move by the Buccaneers, in their opinion.
Sounds good. Hey, we're all in ecstasy here, especially Lee.
Hey, Lee, by the way, speaking of the sad sack Falcons and the defensive woes.
Sad sack.
Just to put a point on it, Lee. Is it possible, Lee? Is it possible they're gearing up for a run at Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah, it's possible. If they got the cap room, yeah, it's possible. Darn right, it's possible.
They don't have a great draft pick, but it's better than a lot of teams.
Well, from what I understand, the money's going to be the thing. If the Falcons can afford Hendrickson's contract, then the draft pick won't be as severe steep.
Steve, I talk a lot about the Glazers weighing in on big decisions. Head coach, certainly. Quarterback, certainly. And
we're not paying Chris Godwin $30 million, certainly.
Certainly. Steve, is it a stretch to say that Arthur Blank, at his age, you know, Joel Glazer's not Arthur Blank's age.
No.
is it wrong to say that Blank's got to be desperate at this point? Steve, desperate.
Well, what happens?
Desperate for relevance. They're irrelevant, the Falcons.
Ira, what happens to a man when he hits 80? I don't know.
Well, he goes for the Viagra, number one.
At 80?
Maybe 60.
I'm not saying anything.
Blank is desperate, Steve, or he should be. He should be. He's in this to win. They've never won a Super Bowl. They've been in one Super Bowl, and they're not close to being in it. He's got to swing big. They got to go big.
Was Blank owning the Falcons when Reeves got him to the Super Bowl?
No, he came in 2002, Blank.
Okay.
2002, the year that they realigned the divisions. The same year, and the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl.
Falcons have the 15th overall pick, Aaron.
Yeah,
so we'll see if they really want to, where they want to invest and what they want to do. I don't think Arthur Blank, I agree with you with the urgency, but I don't think he feels like he's on death's door or something. You know, he probably feels like
maybe he feels he's got to give Raheem more
weapons.
More weapons.
I agree with that, yeah. But the hell with the Falcons. We're talking about the Bucs. We're in an ecstasy here.
So Gaines comes back. Steve.
We got a punter.
You got a punter.
Oh, boy.
And you got a punter.
Now, what's interesting to me, the only thing that really excited me about the punter, and it's nothing personal with the punter, and his name is Riley Dixon. He spent a couple years with Sean Payton in Denver, and Sean Payton is a true special teams expert. And
how he won that Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah, and he kicked pretty
Onside kick.
And he kicked pretty well out there, and the Bucs are paying him. So the funny part of this, Ira, for me, he signs a two-year, $6 million deal. He's going to be the Bucs punter next year, but they brought in a punter from the CFL. They put him on the...
You'll see him in training camp.
He's on the 90-man futures roster. And, you know, I think Lee wrote something, we haven't addressed punter or something like that, or I did. And we were alerted, hey, we signed a CFL legend. And Lee and I were like, hey, it doesn't count.
So this new guy's going to be the punter.
This guy's the punter. He's a 9-year veteran, never missed a game, so I really like that.
Hopefully they don't work them hard a lot.
The punters?
They don't punt a lot, the Bucs. Good for them. Are you still in tears about not replacing Hainsey for depth as the offensive line? It's driving you crazy.
I'm not in tears, but I'm not going to get off this. You cannot ignore
Schooley,
offense
Opeta.
In the draft.
Schooley, Opeta, depth. Fine.
Depth, you need depth. Can't ignore offense in the draft. You always want to get better. You don't want to just say, hey, we're great.
Yeah. And what was Hainsey's forte, Lee?
Team guy.
Versatility.
Was he? He only played center recall.
They felt they could use him at guard if they needed him.
From what I understand, his greatest asset, and Cohn loved him, obviously brought him to Jacksonville, he was such a team guy. And I'll never forget you know, you got to reach if you're talking about the guy's ethics. But I'll never forget when the day after they drafted Barton, and Barton shows up at One Buck Place. There's two bucks in the lobby greeting Barton, welcoming him to town. One was Tristan Wirfs. The other was the guy's job he was taking, Robert Hainsey.
You know,
I thought that said a lot.
Lee, one thing I'll never forget regarding Hainsey, and I've told you this story.
Everybody blamed him for freaking Rashad White being...
Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains, Sirius Radio. Those guys are sharp. They got a good show, Lee. And they usually make the trek to Tampa, you know, because they go all around and then leave and go to Miami and Jacksonville or whatever. So they were off air, and I asked them about Hainsey. Kerwin more than Miller, and Kerwin's a former personnel executive. He was really down on Hainsey. He just didn't think he had the physical stature to handle the center position.
Yeah, there's a guy, I don't want to out him because he told Steve and I this in confidence, but there's an ex-NFLer, he's in the media, and he bounces around at training camps. And we were talking to him at Bucks training camp, it was Hainsey's rookie year, and this guy told Steve and I, we asked him about Hainsey, he just sat and shook his head, he goes, no legs.
Yeah, no legs. Steve, was he terrible? No, but barely adequate doesn't cut it. Barely adequate. They got to do better than that, and they have. They've done better.
Ira, we're going to play a little game. It's called Pin Down Ira.
Uh-oh.
You ready for
got
this?
Got anything to do with donuts over here, Steve? No.
You and your donuts.
We'll get you donuts.
Pin Down Ira.
Pin Down Ira.
I'm not picking the Buck record for 2025. It's too early. I'm not doing it.
We're going to play Pin Down Ira. Before that, we'll remind everyone, BillCurryFord.com. Curry is the family name. That's the family, the Curry family. They're there, a mile north of the stadium
on
Del Mabry.
Drive Curry.
There you go. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there first. That's all they ask. And they will wow you with everything they do. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And Ira will buy a ribeye later. He assures us with ice cream. Do you eat them together?
No. No. Exactly 6 hours apart.
Six hours.
Oh.
Exactly.
So you got to wake
that
up.
That means I'm having ice cream at midnight.
That's not very good for you.
So this is pin down sage. Pin down sage.
Pin down the sage. Does Chris Godwin play in week one?
Yes. Yes, he does. He catches six balls for 73 yards and a touchdown as the Bucs win their opener. And I don't care who they play.
With the Bucs' first four picks in the NFL draft, do they draft an offensive player?
Yes. Among the first four picks, they will. And it will be a wide receiver.
Whoa.
It'll be a wide receiver. Who will be groomed to take the place of Mike Evans in about 2 years.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Evans is not going to play till he's 39 years old. That's not going to happen.
Okay, well, they got three receivers now. They got their top three set. Palmer's still here. That's four.
They don't know if they can count on Palmer.
They love Rakeem Jarrett. Everybody says they love the guy.
Like Lee says, potential.
So the fourth round pick's going to replace Mike Evans. He'll be groomed.
He'll be groomed.
All right.
He'll be groomed.
All right. I don't know if I like that one. Now, Lee, you
want
to throw
you
one
want
in?
The backup guard over there.
You want to pin him down on a couple? I've got more, but you could.
I'd like to play this game with you, Ira. This comes from Fred Sanford. Fred Sanford went up to a character by the name of Rollo. He goes, Rollo, we're going to play a game. Rollo, that's slick, Pops. What is it? He goes, we're going to play Rollo Derby. You're going to lay on the floor, and I'm going to skate over your face. So here's one for you, Ira. Who are the two starting corners for the Bucks this fall?
Well, Zion McCollum,
okay.
Without question. Well, I think Izzy's going to play the slot. I think Smith's going to move over to safety to play with Winfield. The answer, Lee, is a guy that's not on the roster right now.
That's a fair answer.
A guy that's not on the roster.
A rookie.
I didn't say that. A guy who's not on the roster. I don't think they're going with Jamel Dean, and I'm not sure they're going to re-sign Hall. Is it Hall from the Jets? Steve?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are they going to
Although you think that guy's a pretty good player when healthy.
He's not healthy, and he's not critical.
He's very handsy.
I liked him as a signing last year, but
he's handsy.
Very
ancient history at this point. So are the Bucks going to have a rookie starter on defense?
Yeah. Campbell from Alabama. Starting linebacker.
Go, Ira.
Starting linebacker.
Good
19th
job.
Pick.
It's all right.
Campbell.
So you're calling the
pick. If he's there.
You're calling the pick right now.
Right now. If he's there. If
right
he's
now.
There. I'm with Lee. Lee and I are united on this, and I got to see what Sean Sullivan's got to say about it. This guy fits Bowles Lee, this guy fits Bowles.
Yeah, he's a Swiss Army knife kind of guy.
Now, did they go up to Todd Bowles and say, Todd, we can get you a quality $8 to $10 million inside linebacker, a tackle machine that we can put next to David? The guy will have some flaws, but we can get you one of those guys. Or would you rather have Nelson and Gaines? Did that conversation happen? Does Todd Bowles have that kind of pull?
Well, if that discussion did happen, I think Bowles might opt for the inside linebacker, Lee. You're talking about two backups in Nelson and Gaines. They're not bad backups, but they're backups for a reason.
It's $8.5 million, though. You could get a good linebacker to put next to David for $8.5 million.
They're going to have to replace David in a year or two, Lee. I mean, they have to.
Yeah.
You know, the writing's on the wall.
I'll be honest, but I don't expect him here the next year. I hope he is, but I don't expect it.
I think they got their eyes on this Campbell kid, and Lee and I are going to be pissed off if they don't get him, if he's sitting there at 19.
I won't necessarily be pissed. I'll be a little disappointed, but I think, you know, looking at the big picture, I think he makes the most sense.
All right, Sage, we're getting ready to wrap up the podcast, and I believe we're doing another one this week.
Yeah, I believe we are.
All right.
Oh, third one.
Sage needs donut money.
By the way, if they get another corner, starting corner opposite McCollum, you think size will be a factor? You think Bowles wants bigger corners, and Dean doesn't match that?
No, Dean does. That's his Bowles thing. Bring him long, bring him fast. I'll do the rest. That's his thing.
He wants ball skills, and Dean doesn't have it.
Well, he can't have it all. He's like Dean enough to keep him for a long time.
And to be fair, Lee, McCollum hasn't shown great ball skills either. He hasn't.
No.
Better than Dean. But you know what? The Bucs won the Super Bowl with Dean. How bad could he be?
And that's when they had a pass rush, Lee. Yes.
So last question. Are you ready?
I don't know if I'm ready because that look in your eye tells me I'm not ready for it. But go ahead.
What's your win total on the Bucs for next season?
Ooh.
As we sit here mid-March.
11. 11-6. Last year I picked 9-8. I was wrong. In the words of Jason Light, we're ascending. We're ascending.
All right. Well, we'll ask you again after the draft. We won't keep bugging you on that one. We'll see.
It's still a bad division, Steve. It's still a bad division.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just figured I'd ask you. It's pinned down Ira. And
I don't know what the Saints are doing, Lee. I mean, what the hell are they doing in New Orleans?
I would have gone 12, but the only thing that held me back to 11. I
12?
The only thing that held me back, the mystery of Josh Grizzard.
You know what? That's well put, Lee. I talked to somebody last week that said Grizzard's going to screw up. Grizzard's going to be a screw up. I'm not willing to go there. But there are questions about Grizzard, just like there were about Cone.
Sure.
Who knew anything about Cone going into last season? Did a hell of a job. Did a hell of a job.
So you did a good job with Pin Down Ira. I was proud of you.
And the last thing I'll say is you can never overestimate the impact and influence of Baker Mayfield when it comes to what this offense is going to look like and what the personnel is going to be. I think Mayfield even weighed in on Ben Bredesen. Lee, am I wrong? Everything to do with that side of the ball is going through number 6.